WATD listeners, we have a great show prepared for you tonight. Joining me tonight is our show's co-host and sponsor, Michelle Hager, managing partner of Blue Cirrus Consulting. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, Joe. It's great to have me on the show. It's great to be on the show tonight. I really appreciate it. It's going to be a great show.
And we always love having you. Thank you. So the Blue Cirrus Telehealth Radio Show is looking to Eastern medicine strategies tonight with guests Fourth Wheel Flow, who's a registered nurse, Reiki practitioner, and artist, is here to speak with us. My daughter, Casey Coletti, is going to be on the air tonight. She's a student at Maharishi International University in Iowa, and she is going to share her journey with us tonight. But first up is David Dibble with his very own consulting company called The New Agreements. David will explain how his consulting, training, and leadership development company does good work in the world and much more. David has developed a revolutionary model for systems-based bottom-up transformation of any business, 3D problem solving, and work redesign, but with an emphasis on healthcare. Unlike any other model, the engine which drives the 3D problem solving model and its breakthrough seven tools is Nobel Prize-winning system science, the law of dissipative structures. For most companies, and certainly for healthcare, this model obsoletes Six Sigma, Lean, Baldrige, and other healthcare improvement programs. It also obsoletes most top-down leadership and management models. Why? Because the model creates genuine systems-based transformation in the workplace that improves quality of care, safety, and staff well-being while eliminating stress and burnout.
Hi, Dave. It's great to have you on the show tonight. These are some amazing models, and our listeners are going to be very interested to hear about these disruptive ways of doing new change management.
Hello, Joe and Michelle, and thank you. It's great to be on the air with you tonight.
Yeah. So, David, please tell us, how did you create 3D problem solving?
Well, going way back, right after college, I started a company in an old warehouse with about $5,000, and over time built it into about a $10 million business. I took pride in the quality of our products and services, and studied and implemented the quality model of the great Dr. W. Edwards Deming, the father of the Western quality movement. I also dove into the work of Dr. Ilya Prigogine, a brilliant scientist who won a Nobel Prize for his discovery of the law of dissipative structures. The law of dissipative structures describes how all systems in the physical universe grow, evolve, and change. I was able to use this universal principle and law to speed change in my business and in growing and serving my people. I quickly realized this combination of Deming and Prigogine's work was really a new systems-based change model that worked much better and faster than legacy models, and as it turned out, those that followed, such as Total Quality Management, Baldrige, Six Sigma, and Lean.
So Dave, I'm fascinated with these models, and Joe often calls this show the smartest show on radio, and I think we're definitely living up to that tonight because we have so many different approaches to how we change systems. And you've shared about this 3D modeling, and it stands for, the 3Ds stand for discovery, distillation, and defining. Can you tell us a little bit more about those first three tools and how integral they are to the process?
Sure, Michelle. Discovery is the first tool used to gather data about the problems facing staff in healthcare. Importantly, the data collected is not hard data, but emotional data. Basically, we're collecting data that describes the stresses people are feeling or having, basically working on the job. And these stresses are being produced by the highly stressed systems that we work in healthcare today. So people respond to a question such as, what are the problems, concerns, or things keeping you up at night about work? And then we basically list each of the concerns one by one in the words of the staff member where they're visible to all. So this might go on a board, or it might go into a Trello board or something like that. But basically we make them all visible. And we go until there's no more hands in the air and the room goes completely quiet. This always happens. And when it goes completely quiet, that tells us that the process is coming to an end or has ended. So when discovery is complete, we move on to the second tool, which is distillation. And distillation is simple and it's usually done in a smaller group. The 3D facilitator asks the group to put the concerns that were listed in discovery into like type categories. As we define or identify things that are similar, we move them into a list or a category. When everything has been assigned a category, the group gives each category a name and the distillation is complete. And we move on to tool three, defining. Defining basically identifies what's the most important category to the group. The 3D facilitator says to the group, and I kind of put on my facilitator voice here, we are going to work on only one problem or category. You only get to choose one. The group must come to consensus on this choice. Okay, what's it going to be? Well, the group normally goes a little crazy about this time because they want to work on everything. But we allow the process to kind of work its way out. And eventually the group will come to consensus on what they think is the most important system or group that we need to work on. It's important. Notice that the choice that the group will be making is the one that by consensus is most stressing the group. Here we're seeing basically, we're starting to identify the systems that are most stressing the staff. And so when we get to the point of actually starting to take right action on fixing these systems, we'll be working on the most important ones. So we know that the stress energy being felt by the group originates in the highly stressed systems in which staff works. Now we're dealing and we know what are the physical systems most stressing staff, and we will get our greatest benefits in fixing and de-stressing the systems in which staff works. And this leads to tool four, taking right action on the right systems. I do want to note one thing about these first three tools, or 3D. Note that participating in the 3D problem-solving process is healing for staff. They gain a voice and they gain the experience of being successful in addressing problems that have plagued them seemingly forever.
That's excellent. In reading on your website and listening to your webinars, it was very important to learn that you took all of the problems, and then you chose the most important stressor. It's sort of like 20% of the total problems, and just keyed in on that. And by just fixing, 20% of these problems, it made people feel like there was an advance, there was a solution, and they were heard, and it gave them almost like hope that this could go on, and things were getting better, and it was going in the right direction.
Yes. Actually, we'll normally find when we're doing systems work that 20% of the systems are creating 80% of the problem. And this is, it's actually called the Pareto principle. And for any of you that are wondering, how that works, you can actually check it out for yourself. You can go into your closet. You'll see that 20% of the time, that 80% of the time you wear 20% of the clothes in your closet, 80% of the time, you wear 20% of the shoes in your closet. If you make a list of all the restaurants you go to, you'll see that 80% of the time you go to 20% of the restaurants.
Right, right.
So pretty, the Pareto principle is basically working in a lot of different areas of life.
Great. So what is it based from and how has it been effective in healthcare?
Well, 3D problem solving is based on the system science of Deming and Prigogine and others. But it also incorporates the science of transformation at the level of the mind or growth in people. Einstein said, we can't solve problems with the same thinking used to create them. That's exactly what healthcare has been trying to do for decades. I call it more, better, different. We try to do more of what's not working. We try to do what's not working better, or we try to do what's not working differently. This is why things have continued to deteriorate in healthcare, despite decades of trying to improve. People who have contributed to the growing people side of the 3D model include Don Miguel Ruiz, who you might No, he was the author of the worldwide bestseller, The Four Agreements. And then there's also some Native American teachings, Native American healers and Eastern teachers, particularly those who taught meditation.
Mm-hmm.
Over the 17 years, I've been using 3D in my consulting and training work in healthcare. Evidence-based outcomes are, for the most part, they're off the charts. I'm happy to provide anyone who's interested in basically an outcomes report that we compiled about all the various outcomes that we've been able to create in both large and small hospitals for those who are interested in sort of the data behind it. However, I think the 3D work being done at UAB Medicine over the last 4 years will bring immense credibility to the model for mainstream healthcare. UAB is writing two peer-reviewed papers, one on 3D implementation to address burnout, and one on 3D implementation to improve quality of care and safety. The burnout paper has already been submitted, and the quality and safety paper will likely be submitted in the next few weeks. UAB also wrote an outstanding article on 3D implementation from the point of view of the staff who are implementing it. The article is on my homepage at thenewagreements.com, and you can read it or download it. Anyone who's interested, just go to the website and hit download.
That's great. I think this is very interesting, because what is different about the 3D model and your systems approach is, in Lean and Six Sigma, we're all about like driving out efficiency, and it's very closely aligned to logistics, right? And other manufacturing, where there's speed and there's, you know, tech and there's all sorts of things. They're not humans necessarily. There is some human intervention, of course, but healthcare is so far away from that logistics approach that I think it's so key for us to help with this healthcare burnout, the clinicians and the physicians that we know today are, you know, doing the quote unquote great resignation, not coming back into healthcare and choosing different careers because of the stressors that they're feeling, and they're not feeling heard. Their jobs are not adjusting to the new way of working. And I love the way that you facilitate your groups in order to bring out those primary and priority stressors for them to help understand how we can make this better versus always trying to drive efficiency.
Yes, Michelle. I mean, great points. We're, I believe, entering a critical era for healthcare, and in particular for the existing healthcare system. If we look at the law of dissipated structures, it guarantees that the care delivery systems in which staff work are becoming ever more stressed and dysfunctional, and have been for decades. However, COVID was the stressor that pushed many systems over the edge, and staff along with it. Wherever we saw the most system stress, we saw the most burnout, moral injury, quiet quitting, and early retirements of those who simply couldn't take it anymore. The only thing we can do to sustainably address this new pandemic of burnout is to train staff in systems-based problem solving and turn them loose fixing the systems. I really don't think leadership in healthcare understands the potentially grave situation it finds itself in with burnout and staff shortages. The situation can easily turn into what we call a reinforcing loop, where burnout and shortages create more burnout and shortages. We're already seeing some hospitals closing or curtailing services due to lack of staff. I don't think leadership has made the connection between staff providing care to patients and, you know, the revenues and profits, you know, that they so relish. Literally, it is staff that is producing both the revenue and the profits that admin is so focused on. And without staff, there is little revenue and only losses.
And it's clear that the shortages that the clinicians, you know, that the burnout that the clinicians are experiencing are creating these shortages. We know this from hospitals having to shut beds down because they just simply don't have the clinicians to be able to staff them. That has a knock-on effect on revenue. And so I think, you know, although it may not be permeated everywhere, we can certainly see pretty readily that the lack of staff, the lack of productive staff, happy staff, if you will, is definitely contributing to that bottom line. And I certainly think there's more awareness that can be done, to your point. But it's critical, and none of us in the society will really understand that until we, you know, go to these facilities and are not able to get care, or care is delayed to the point that your health is risked because of that. And none of us wants that.
No, I absolutely agree. My focus has really changed over the last few years. My early work, I was going into hospitals and basically helping them be better as a business. So we would go in and we would fix systems, and we would, you know, take things that weren't working very well and get them so they were working well. And of course, this made the people in admin really happy because we were, you know, producing more revenue and more profits. And we were, of course, in the process also helping staff because we were fixing systems. But my focus over the last few years is now, it's really gone to saving staff from burnout and resignations and moral injury. And I mean, this is, that also sort of focuses on saving, you know, the macro healthcare system too. But I'm really concerned. The law of dissipative structures absolutely guarantees that the macro healthcare system is not sustainable, not the way it is right now. And so it is heading toward what's called reorder. And the reorder is basically a flight into chaos, where basically the system itself comes unglued before it reforms into a completely different system that is again stable. The problem is that if the macro healthcare system reorders, it is going to take staff and patients and communities down with it. Mm-hmm. And that is not going to be good for anybody. So my feeling is that the absolute touch point and tipping point where we have to work right now is in saving staff from burnout in order to buy healthcare more time to make changes, the changes that are necessary to keep it viable.
Particularly in rural areas, this is felt even more acutely.
Mm.
I heard that. Show on radio, Joe.
No, I heard that at the National Rural Health Conference in Arizona a few weeks ago. And that's why this show became so important to me. David, before we let you go, I just want you to go back and tell me, what was the timeline for implementing your 3D program to UAB, which is what, University of Alabama, Birmingham, correct?
Yes. Well, it's a bit of an interesting story. I was doing 3D problem solving, although we weren't calling it that at the time, in all sorts of different businesses. And then I got a call to healthcare, and I started doing some trainings, primarily for healthcare around 3D problem solving. But I had one incredibly bright, energetic physician that came through one of my trainings, and he's just an amazing guy. You know, he's a Harvard MBA and an anesthesiologist, and he really wanted to do good work in healthcare. And so he asked me to train him in 3D problem solving. And I didn't have any way to do that. And so I said, well, if you wanted, you could follow me around the country when I'm doing consulting and, you know, I'll train you. And I didn't think he would do it, but he did.
Wow.
And so anyway, his name is Dr. Rick Van Pelt. He's now the chief transformation officer for UAB Medicine.
Excellent.
And so he started implementing 3D problem solving about 4.5 years ago at UAB. And it went from, as you might imagine in the beginning, nobody wanting to do anything, to now he literally has people standing in line to bring 3D into their departments. And so I think he may turn out to be one of the most important people in bringing 3D to mainstream healthcare.
I'd like to talk to him, and maybe we could have him on the show in upcoming shows here in December and January.
Oh, you should. He's amazing.
Yeah, that sounds amazing. Why don't you give our listeners where they can find this, the new agreements in 3D implementation?
Best thing is probably go to my website. It's thenewagreements.com. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is just connect with me on LinkedIn. I never thought this would happen, but I'm kind of all over LinkedIn now.
That's good. Me too. And it helps. I've got a good network going now from doing the conferences and listening to consultants like yourself and putting this radio show on. It really has enhanced my knowledge.
Yes, I just really want to, I want to thank you too for the good work you're doing. I mean, you know, we've got to get this work out into the world. And I just see, you know, you're kind of on the vanguard, you know, for getting, you know, the right message and the right work out into the world. So I just want to thank you so much for your good work.
Well, it's our pleasure. Michelle Hager, we owe a lot to her and her foresight into this and promoting telehealth and helping health systems. Thank you so much for your time tonight. David Dibble with the New Agreements and his website, thenewagreements.com. Go on there. He's got a video. He's got all kinds of information. I was there and I learned so much about systems and this new way of operating for healthcare systems. And hopefully it will help improve burnout, improve quality, and lower costs. Thank you for your time tonight, David.
You're very welcome. And thank you so much.
Absolutely, David. Thank you so much. You made us smarter tonight. So thank you.
Thank you.
This is Blue Cirrus, Telehealth Radio on WATD and Friends with Benefits, Radio 95.9 FM. We're going to be back with Emily O'Hara and Barbara Holbrook from Fourth Wheel Flow. We'll be right back.